Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What's up, guys? Today's date is June 19th. I'm Steven Masso, and as always, you're listening to Via the Source. Now, in today's episode, it's not going to be as Dolphins-focused as some of the other episodes. There isn't too much going on with the team just now at this point, but there is some news regarding the whole NFL that could have some relevancy to the Dolphins. So, in this episode, we're going to be discussing Jamal Adams demanding a trade from the Jets. We're also going to be discussing Dr. Fauci saying that football isn't still guaranteed just yet, that he thinks there is some serious risk and there is some big question marks that need to be covered by the league moving forward as we get closer to the season. And then we're going to be discussing Madden Football, the video game. If you follow me on Twitter, you're probably already aware that I am pretty disappointed with the state of the game and if the whole community in general is pretty fed up. So I want to be giving NFL fans, because maybe you don't play, maybe you don't understand, but I think this is, you know, kind of a serious issue, especially when it comes to marketing the league to a younger audience, one that I think every, sports league should strive to do. So we're going to be discussing all that, but we will begin with Jamal Adams demanding a trade from the Jets. That came just today. You know, there's been some issues. He wants a better contract. Of course, Adam Gase is the coach over there in New York. And if you've listened to this podcast, I said before, and I said just a few episodes ago, that I would be shocked if Le'Veon Bell and Jamal Adams are both still on the Jets at the end of this upcoming season, because once there are, you know, elite level players, ones that are kind of butting heads and maybe questioning the authority of Adam Gase, he likes to insert kind of a power move, and he does that by trading them. And we saw that with the Dolphins when he did that with Jay Ajayi. When that initially happened, I was furious. And I wasn't furious at the idea of trading Jay Ajayi. I thought he had a great season when he had those 200-yard games back-to-back. That was pretty impressive to watch, kind of Ricky Williams-esque, kind of reminded me of those days. But I wasn't necessarily attached to him. I was mad at the value the Dolphins got in return, and that was a fourth-round pick, which in hindsight wasn't terrible. But in the moment, that whole trade just reeked of Adam Gase making a move just to kind of show his dominance, to kind of show that he is the one in charge. And that was kind of the narratives that were flying around, that he wanted to send a message. And then, of course, if you remember way back, Jay Ajayi, the first year in his rookie season, I believe he didn't even fly out with the team because he was having some issues with the coaching and kind of butting heads with some of the guys over there. And then, of course, Jarvis Landry, the same thing happened to him. It was said that Adam Gase sent him to Cleveland to die in some sense, but, you know, Jarvis Landry at that contract, I don't think they could have kept him. I think signing Jay Cutler to that deal really put them in a tough position, and they didn't sign Jarvis earlier. So that one is understandable, but all the narratives that were flying around to Adam Gase was that he was doing all of this to kind of show his dominance, to show that he is the one in charge, and to make a statement. And we always heard the narratives being thrown around. He wanted to build a culture. So with that all being said, I would not be shocked if Jamal Adams is in fact traded. And the natural thing for Dolphin fans to assume is, well, are the Dolphins a candidate? And just because they're in the same division, because Adam Gase was with the Dolphins, if he was sending him to Miami to die in a way, then, you know, it would make a little bit more sense. Miami definitely has the draft capital to make a move like that. They have a need at safety in some sense, so it would make sense. But the Dolphins, as they stand right now, are not a place that you send someone to die. You could actually send Jamal Adams there and he would thrive. So I don't think Adam Gase and Douglas over there in New York, I don't think that's something that they're looking at doing. You definitely don't want to improve a team that is in your division when you don't have any sort of long-term security or stability with the Jets franchise. You trade Jamal Adams to the Dolphins, I mean, there's already legitimate shot this year that the Dolphins are a better team than the Jets. So why would you send them there? It doesn't make sense. I mean, I would love for the Dolphins to do it. It would make sense for them. It would be adding a tremendous asset. The issue is going to be if the Jets would agree to something like that. I don't think they do unless Miami gives them a ridiculous offer, but it just doesn't seem realistic. So teams that I could see making a move for Jamal Adams, he mentioned a list of teams that I will discuss in a bit, but the main one that is being tied, and he has been tied to this now for months, maybe even a year, is the Dallas Cowboys. A lot of people thought before the trade deadline that he was going to end up in Dallas, and it makes sense for them. They need some sort of dominant force there in that secondary. Jamal Adams desperately wants to go to the Cowboys. Apparently, he is a big Cowboys fan, and and that's where he wants to be. So it makes sense. You look at what the Cowboys have to offer and what the Jets need. It's something I talked about a few episodes ago as well. The Jets kind of need a wide receiver. They got Denzel Mims in the draft. They got Breshad Perriman in free agency. I like both of those guys. But if you could get Michael Gallup, a guy who I think is capable of being a wide receiver one, I know Dallas fans don't want that, but that is what is going to take, I think, if you want to make a move and you want to bring Jamal Adams in. I think sending a second and Michael Gallup would be enough to get it done. Maybe even a third, depending on if, you know, Adam Gase and Douglas over there in New York are kind of on a power trip. I don't even know. I think that would be enough. Another team that I'm looking at for Jamal Adams to go to, if he indeed is traded, is the Kansas City Chiefs, because the Kansas City Chiefs right now are in a position where their window is obviously right now. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes, the cheapest he is ever going to be. He's going to get some ridiculous contract that is 100% deserved. So you might as well go in there and just stack the team right now as much as you absolutely can. Try to get as many Super Bowls as you can right now, because we all know this, just by Patrick Mahomes being on that team, the offense to an extent is set. They are at least at the bare minimum of being a successful offense just by having Patrick Mahomes. Tyreek Hill went down with that clavicle injury. Mecole Hardman stepped up, and you couldn't even tell a difference that their number one receiver wasn't on the field. They lost Kareem Hunt. You bring in Damian Williams, some undrafted running back, you know, underrated. He comes in there and he looks like a star. So it really goes to show what having an elite quarterback can do. And I think right now the Chiefs are looking at this as an opportunity that, you know, they could go in and just load up the opposite side and be immediately the favorites by a wide margin to win another Super Bowl. So that's a team that I'm looking to make a move here. And as for the other teams he mentioned that he would want to play for, he has the Ravens, he has the Texans, he has the Eagles, 49ers, and Seahawks. You look at all these teams, they're all contenders. He wants to go to a team that puts them immediately at the forefront of winning a Super Bowl. All those teams, you know, they have somewhat of needs. They could potentially offer him solid contracts. I think all those places make sense. Now, the one that I think makes the most sense to me would be the Eagles, potentially. The Texans here are kind of a question mark because, you know, they gave up so much to the Dolphins in terms of draft capital when they traded Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills. So that's kind of up in the air. And with O'Brien and all the chaos that is going there after trading DeAndre Hopkins as well, I think that would kind of be, you know, almost Chip Kelly-esque if they trade away their entire future in terms of draft picks for Jamal Adams. It would be a shock to me if they did that. But I think the other teams that are mentioned there are all, you know, legitimate candidates. Again, like the Eagles, I think the Ravens are a solid place to go. The Seahawks could definitely be a team to be on the lookout for in terms of getting Jamal Adams. So all those, again, as for the Dolphins, I don't expect it to happen. And again, it's not the Dolphins' fault. I think they would love to get an asset like that. It's just, I don't think the Jets are going to want to be trading an elite talent like that to someone in their division when they potentially have a lot of jobs on the line this season. So those are my thoughts on that. We move on to the coronavirus and how it will affect the 2020 season. Dr. Fauci, who works with the coronavirus task force team with the White House, said that it will be extremely difficult for the NFL to have a season. They will be having to do tests, extremely frequently. They'll have to have a protocol in place where the players can't leave. They'll essentially have to be in a bubble. And he essentially said that the sport of football itself is probably one of the worst things that a player or a person could do, just because it is so, involves such high contact and being in close proximity with another person. It's probably one of the worst ways to stay healthy, just because of how easily transmissible this virus is. So that has a lot of question marks going on right now about the season. The first major one is, will they be doing testing this frequently? Of course, we're at a point now where there's finally some frequent testing being done on the general population, but having such a huge amount of resources being used on NFL players alone, because they will have to be done so frequently, is definitely going to start to rub off on people the wrong way. And I believe the NBA, who is, you know, about to start their season back up, they have all their guys staying in Orlando over there. They have a hotline where apparently you can anonymously anonymously report that a player is breaking protocol. So the NFL, I imagine, according to Fauci, would have to do something similar to this to make sure nobody is breaking protocol. Because again, the virus is extremely transmissible just from human to human. Imagine if you are on a field where you are basically colliding with other players constantly. That is just a recipe for disaster in this. So the NFL has been kind of experimenting with new ideas. Adam Schefter put a tweet out a while ago that said that Oakley was experimenting with adding N95 style masks to the face mask in a way. And of course, that is kind of, it's hard to imagine. I don't know how well that would work. You know, you have players, especially the ones like in Florida for the Dolphins, playing in 90 plus degree weather. You add a face mask to that, you have to wonder if that would actually be damaging their ability to breathe, and if they will be overheating and put them at risk of, you know, not getting enough oxygen. I mean, you have guys who are playing with about as open of a face mask as you can. They come back to the sidelines and they're already sucking in oxygen. You can only imagine if you add a mask to that. I imagine that is a very difficult task, and I understand the intentions there are good, but I would be shocked to see if they're able to successfully incorporate some N95 style mask into the helmet. I'd be shocked to see that. And then, you know, you think about it from a fan perspective. Texas announced that they would have stadium capacities up to 50% 2 weeks ago, but as it currently stands right now, you know, this wave is starting to hit here. You know, if you guys know I am from Texas, things are starting to get a little bit crazy, and I don't think that that will be those same 50% capacity, I don't think that will be happening as we get closer to the season, just because how things are currently looking right now. You have the Dolphins, they announced that their stadium would be at a 15% capacity, and Tom Garfinkel said that they had a system in place where you would kind of be moving row to row. They would have separate entrances with timed entrances to kind of spread people out more, and people wouldn't be in such close proximity. Food and drinks would be delivered to you, and there would be an intense sanitization process going on there. So, you know, I admire the Dolphins' ability. They always seem to be at the forefront in terms of innovation and in terms of getting the best fan experience at Hard Rock Stadium. I commend Tom Garfinkel for that. He is always making such a strong effort. So I'm curious to see if more teams kind of use a Dolphin standard as we get closer to the season. But you kind of have to wonder, you know, is it going to get to a point where there aren't fans in the stadium? Because you have to look at the potential PR nightmare that a team is going to have to deal with if you have a story. And again, this is a hypothetical, but if you have a story like, you know, X amount of fans after a week after watching the game come back with COVID, and now they have created, in a sense, a cluster. You have like 20 some fans go to a game and they come back testing positive. That is a horrible instance in and of itself, but is also a very horrible PR nightmare for the NFL, for them to be potentially putting a mass group of fans in harm's way like that. I don't think that's something they're going to want to be known for. So as we get closer, that is something that, you know, is just in my mind. I don't know how legitimate it is, or if the NFL has some things, you know, more secretive about how they're going to deal with this, but that's where my mind is at right now. And then if we look at this, from a player performance aspect, our NFL players, you know, if you have five guys or so on the offensive line come 1 week and they test positive, are you going to give that team a bye week? Are you going to say that, you know, we have to test the whole team, we're going to have to give them all a bye week? Or are you just going to say that you have to play with your backups? Are you going to cancel that week? There's a lot of question marks. So, I mean, this could be the year of the backups. I mean, if you have a guy like Patrick Mahomes and he is test positive, he has to sit out mandatory X amount of weeks, that could change a whole season. And with how transmissible this virus is, you know, it is extremely unlikely that it is only one player that is going to become infected if one does. It is likely going to be several. If you have one positive case, it's going to turn into more there. And then the last kind of theory or thing I'm thinking about, and this is kind of the less serious of all of these, is player performance. I mean, you have guys who are kind of practice heroes, guys who in practice, like when the limelight isn't on, I'm thinking of like Sam Bradford, who it seemed like every training camp, they said that, wow, this guy's incredible. And then the regular season came around and, you know, he was nothing special. Or you have Andy Dalton, who in the regular season is pretty solid, except when it comes to primetime games, he just doesn't show up. So if you have no fans in the stadium, how is this going to affect you know, momentum. Defense, I think, relies heavily on fan interaction, on that momentum, on that loudness of the crowd. How is that going to happen? You know, those guys who are practice heroes, are they going to be able to play a little bit better this season? Are we going to see a good season from Andy Dalton if he gets, you know, the starting job? How is that all going to work out? And of course, that last note is probably the less serious of all the ones I mentioned, but these are all the things that, you know, again, I'm thinking about when I think of the upcoming 2020 season and how it currently stands with the coronavirus pandemic. Now we will move on to discussing Madden, the video game. Now I know a lot of people don't really play video games. They don't really care about that. They just care strictly about football. But I think a lot of fans, you know, they could relate. If you think back in the past, you know, whether you're playing Madden or whether you're playing ESPN 2K5, some of the more legendary football games of all times, you had some great experiences back in those days, whether you were a kid, whether you were an adult kicking it with some friends. You know, those led to some great memories and really got you hyped for Sunday, or maybe, you know, quick little halftime break, get a quick game in. Those were all great. But that little sentiment, that little feeling of that has been missing from fans for some time, and it is largely in part due to the state of the Madden franchise, the video game. It has gotten really bad, and I've seen some other reporters here and there talking about just because the game looks visually stunning that there must be nothing wrong with it, and that is not the case at all. The game, if you look at what EA, the company, has done, and the NFL signed an exclusive license deal with them back in 2005, well, they extended this license that has been going on since then for another 6 years. And fans are completely fed up, and they are frustrated. And I kind of want to be diving into why is that. So first, you have to know a little bit about EA. I'm sure if you remember EA from back in the day, they had some good Madden games. They had MVP Baseball. NBA Live at one point was a pretty solid competitor for NBA 2K at the time. But when they signed the exclusive license deal with the NFL, that led to them getting complacent with the game. They didn't have to make any sort of improvements, and it led to the game becoming horrible. But to discuss EA, yeah, they had those good games in the past, but the general feeling with them right now is very poor. Their image, how they are viewed by the public, is very, very poor. In fact, there was a poll, it was a few years ago, they were voted the most hated company in the entire world. Again, they make video games. Just think of how bad they have to be voted the most hated company in the world. On top of that, they have the record for the most downvoted Reddit post in history. Out of all the post you can think of, out of all the horrible things that have been said on the internet, that is, they are the owner of the most downvoted Reddit post in history. They were talking about the Star Wars franchise because they made a video game about it. Basically, they monetized the hell out of the video game, and they put everything behind a paywall, and people were saying they destroyed the franchise. It led to them being one of the more hated companies in the world. On top of that, a representative from Hawaii called for EA to be investigated for predatory practices, because they were, in a way, putting kids in a position where they were gambling and they did not know they were doing so. Kids, and it is also in Madden, there is a form, there is Ultimate Team that is both in FIFA and in Madden, where basically you can buy packs, like how, you know, there's trading cards in real life, you get a card. Well, there are virtual packs in this game, and instead of getting a real physical card that you have for the rest of your life, you basically buy the right to use a player in that video game for just that year. And you're buying the packs, you don't know who you're gonna get. At the time, you didn't know what the odds were, and you had kids spending real dollars just so that they could compete with their friends and buy these players, buy these cards that they only get for a year, and the next year become irrelevant. So they're just dumping money over and over again. And they've destroyed other video game franchises. I mentioned the Star Wars one a little bit there, but if you look at what they did to NBA Live, you would think that NBA 2K, the video game, has an exclusive license deal because you haven't heard a peep from NBA Live in years. And it is not because 2K has a license deal like the NFL does to the NBA. What 2K did was they made a game that was so good in terms of quality for the NBA that NBA Live could not compete. They released NBA Live, I forget how many years ago, and fans said it was so bad that EA elected to pull the game entirely, and they haven't made another one since. 2K does not have any sort of license that allows them to be the only one, but EA is just not able to make a game that could even compete with 2K. And again, this is a multi-billion dollar $1 company. And then on top of that, you have Battlefield 5, which was regarded as one of the best shooter games on the market. They destroyed that. They released a trailer for it. It had tons more dislikes than likes, just like the Madden 21 trailer has at this moment. So all that being said, you can see why fans are frustrated. Before we even discuss the quality of Madden in that game, they are pairing again. They signed another license deal for another 6 years with the NFL and with EA. And look at the reputation of that company. Look at the general perception of that company. And this is who the NFL is electing to work with and be the sole provider of an NFL simulation game. So again, I talked about the complacency over and over again. Madden is a $60 game every single year. If you look at what is on the market, Call of Duty Warzone right now is free to play for anybody. You are in a lobby with 150 other people in a city that looks as real as it can get. You have the ability to fly helicopters, do whatever you want. You take a look at Fortnite, another game that is, guess what, free on the market. You are in a lobby with 100 other people. It is regarded as the most impactful or one of the most impactful video games of all time, and they are constantly providing insane content, and that is free. And then you have Madden, $60 every single year, and it barely makes changes on a year-to-year basis. And on top of that, they are forcing their audience of, you know, in the majority kids, to buy microtransactions on top of that. At least when you look at Call of Duty and Fortnite, both free games right now, and they have microtransactions in them, at least they are free. Madden is double dipping, selling a game full price, and implementing a very, very heavy microtransaction system into their game. It is ridiculous, and that is why fans are frustrated when they see a trailer drop and there are no new changes. This is a multi-billion-dollar company selling the game full price, getting all that billions of dollars on microtransactions alone from kids, and you're telling me they don't have the resources to make a good quality game? That is ridiculous. And this isn't my opinion. I mean, I'm pretty fed up with the game, but the user review score on Metacritic every single year is under 2, and that's on a scale of 10. It is under 2. If you go on the subreddit, and subreddits are generally, if you go to the Dolphins one, it's a bunch of people talking positively about the Dolphins. If you go to Call of Duty, it's people, you know, sharing their passion there. If you go to the Madden subreddit, it's a collection of people sharing their frustration with the game. If you go to the latest trailer that was released on YouTube, go to all the comments and try to find one positive one. It is impossible. You will be scrolling for hours looking for a single positive comment about the new trailer. So my message to the NFL is, do you not think that this has potential serious repercussions when you are associating yourself with a company that is viewed so negatively? They continuously, annually put out such a horrible product, and that is the sole provider of an NFL video game that is, you know, video games are more popular now than ever, and you can't even play a football game that is good quality. In the last Madden competition, the last tournament they had with the best players that play Madden, the guy who won was able to exploit the game by running the same play every single time and using a punter as his quarterback. That is not simulation football. And frankly, I think somebody in the NFL who is in touch with the community needs to step up and say, this is too much. Whatever kind of money EA is giving them, and I know it's a ton, I believe it was like a $1 billion license deal, it could not be worth the damage you're doing and the fans you're losing, especially the younger ones, by having such a horrible product represent the league. And that is the end of my rant. So guys, I know there wasn't as much Dolphins talk in this one. I apologize. As we get closer to the season, I'm sure there will be much more topics that arise and I'll be able to discuss. As always, I would love for you guys to send questions and topics my way that you would like for me to discuss on the podcast. I would be thrilled to do so. And if you could, I ask every time, and you guys do a tremendous job, and I'm extremely grateful. Every single time I see a review, it means a lot. I love reading those. They really do brighten my day when I read them. So if you could leave a review on the Apple Podcast app, that really does help a lot to get the audience bigger, and it really does mean a lot. So that is how I'm going to wrap it up. Until next time, I'm Steve Amasso, and this was Via The Source.